Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Music. The sweetest of the art forms.
You would
think that would be sugar making.
Yes, but an art form.
Yes.
A noble art form.
Like in the television program where the guy has to make meth
in order
to make money to survive from his lung cancer.
Yes.
There could be a similar story where somebody figures has to find a novel way to make sugar rather than, you know, say this is in a society where they follow the keto lifestyle.
Yep. Okay.
And it's enforced by law. You see, and so they've banned a lot of chemicals, or they're very, you know, they're restricted, and people are monitored who buy them, say, sugar cane, sugar beet, fruit.
Yep. is wheat considered a sugar? The sort of the gluten and that sort of thing, are those sugars, starches? Are starches banned? Yep. I mean, come on.
Yep.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
And so this person who is a chemistry teacher, or maybe something less obvious, a baker, has to figure out ways to make delicious sweet treats by creating sugar from non-sugar elements.
Now, and just for the people at home listening at home or wherever they're listening, right? Could be outside this small office where we're recording this at the ABC, wherever they are, thinking, that sounds a bit like the episode of The Simpsons where they ban sugar.
Is there an episode where that happens?
Isn't there an episode where they ban sugar and then they dump it all into the river or something, or into the water, and then everybody jumps in and dives around with the sugar, and then you see somebody's teeth all fall out?
Maybe that look. I mean, it feels like it would be a good. I mean, it's such a good idea. It feels like I would base this Simpsons episode on that idea if I had access to their script writing equipment.
I mean, it's sort of maybe a cross between the Beer Baron episode and then whatever it is that I'm remembering, which may or may not be an actual thing. But Alistair, I still think some sort of sketch.
But do you think it's just a parody of Breaking Bad?
Breaking Bad about sugar is absolutely a sketch, Alistair. Mm. It's absolutely a sketch. It's people trying to manufacture in their bathtubs the sugar.
It's just one guy, and then maybe one guy. Some younger guy who gets involved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe to make it a bit different, they could both have eye patches and thick, brushy mustaches. Does that...
This is like my character who tries to make everyone always praises him for having such complex characters, but really all he's done is give every single character in his book a limp.
Mm-hmm. A different kind of limp.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they limp with the left and sometimes they limp with the right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they limp with their hands. They walk on their hands, but they walk on their hands with a limp. You know, one of those distinctive limps. I recognized him instantly because he was walking on his hands with a limp. Nobody, okay. This is, as far as I'm aware, bipedal. You could be bipedal and just walk with one hand and one foot.
Nobody does
that.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Is that niche taken advantage of?
Could you do that with one foot and your head?
And your head.
Would that still count? Or does your head not count as ped?
I think the purists, the pedal purists.
Mm, pedal purists.
Pedophiles?
Pedal. Pedal files.
The pedal files. That much maligned group of society. There's nothing wrong with them. They just love the definition of feet.
Mm.
And yep. and they really refuse to change the name of their group. That's and their only quirk.
And the name of their group, Paddle Files. A lot of people will read it as. And then
oh, they hate that as well.
Yeah. People will think it's got to do with bikes.
I think if you were bald, you could really grease up the top of your head and then use it as sort of like a bearing to slide around on, pushing yourself with one foot. If the ground was also very smooth. Because if it wasn't, it'd suck heaps.
Wait, so... You use your back legs are kind of like a bull, and your and your head is sort of like a plow.
Yeah,
is that what you mean? You know, you sort of.
It's what I'm describing to you.
Each, it. You know, so one of your thighs you call it Betsy. You call the other thigh you call them, you know,
Lignon,
like that, and. In your head, you might wear one of those sort of like paper hats that looks like comes to a point.
Like a dunce's hat. Mm. Yeah. But made of something real solid for ploughing.
Like metal. Like a metal tray.
And what do you call your head in this scenario? Old Faithful?
Mm.
Yeah.
Then if you're giving everything a name, why not your torso?
A really good point. It would be a double standard.
What about the body part formerly known as torso?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think novel forms of walking are pretty interesting because you know I'm aware that Monty Python and a lot of our sketches this episode are going to be takes on a classic thing that already exists much better, right? But Monty Python, the Ministry of Silly Walks, I think you'll find they all still used their legs. And that's not going to cut it in this disrupted
world. Yeah, where one of your legs is cut off and maybe both your arms, maybe one of your arms.
If we were to do a modern version of the Ministry of Silly Walks, if we were up to update it for today, we'd find that actually the government had outsourced all of the Silly Walks work to consultants, you know, Price Waterhouse or KPMG or something like that would have been brought in to do consultation, then you know the actual silly walking would all be done by contractors.
Yeah, right. So it wouldn't even be to sort of inspire the people.
No.
And do you think
it would be? It would have been turned into some sort of profit making centre for cronies of the Liberal national government.
Well, I would. I don't want to get too satirical, but I would suggest that maybe they would just have people sort of. Being pulled on sleds, and they would say, yeah, that's walking. What are you talking about? They're moving around.
Yeah. I don't know if that is too satirical, Alistair, because I don't even really quite know what it means.
They lie sometimes.
They sure bloody do, though. I've had about enough of it.
I've also written down pedal files.
Yeah, great. I mean, maybe that's what cyclists could be called. Because they really need... Because cyclists have a bad image. You know, a lot of people are very negative about cyclists. And I think this could be the rebrand that'll really, you know, endear them to the general public.
I think if there were two groups with the same name who were...
Yes.
Who were in battle, you know, I mean, it gives the sketch a direction to go.
Direction is important.
That's true. Yeah. Why did you say that?
just supporting you in some way. Felt like there might be an opportunity for me to talk about vectors. Well, but then I held back, if you must know.
Well, I think support is important. And you've done a good thing.
Great, Al. Thanks very much. I'm sorry that neither of our comments really took us forward in any way, which would be the other thing you'd need for a vector.
That would be magnitude of
magnitude. Yeah. Magnitude. Okay. Magnitude is a great name for a rapper. Is anyone are there any rappers called Magnitude?
Yeah, because chewed kind of sounds like attitude.
Yeah, that was a big part of what I liked about it.
And Magna sounds a bit like magnet. And those are cool.
Yeah, and it sounds a bit like magma as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't know anything about that, and I wouldn't talk about it if I did.
I mean, do you think that people could treat some of their comedy characters as secret identities? You know, you pretend like you don't know who they are.
I'm sure there are some fuckheads in the industry who do that. In an industry full of fuckheads, yeah. you can't rule it out. You'd be crazy.
Yeah. I guess, in an industry full of fuckheads, there's going to be a fuckhead of every sort.
But would you feel that liberated having a masked character on stage? But then I forgot that you did used to have a masked character that you did on stage. Did you ever do that on stage?
Yeah.
Once or twice?
No, I did it a few times, but the last time was a major bomb. I used to wear this terrifying mask, this mask that looked real enough.
Have we talked about this on the show before? Because if not, I may as well retell the story of the first time I saw this mask.
You hadn't seen it before?
I hadn't seen it before. In fact, Alistair and I were living together at the time in a warehouse that was very poorly lit in a very unpleasant neck of the woods, down an alleyway opposite a meatpacking factory. It was grim. Alistair went away to Sydney. And I was doing the washing up, because I always did the washing up, but I was doing it with my headphones on, so I wasn't in a good listening position. And unbeknownst to me, Alistair had come back from Sydney. Also unbeknownst to me, he had purchased the most terrifying old man-looking mask in the universe at the markets for, I don't know, $10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he got his money's worth because he put on that mask and just stood about 2 meters away from me while I was doing the washing up until I, thinking I was alone in the house, turned around and saw this horrible old man. If you want to know how you'd react in a crisis, I froze. I totally froze. The only part of me that moved was maybe my eyes got real wide.
They widened. That's all that happened.
And when your eyes widen in a scenario like that, I think it's an evolutionary response to you're hoping that maybe you'll see, you'll get more information about the scenario, right? And I don't know what my eyes were hoping to see that would give context to this old man in my kitchen. Maybe some sort of anti-old man who was about to kill him in some way, like a small baby with a knife.
Yeah, I guess a great aunt would be an auntie old man. Yeah.
Real. Auntie.
An auntie.
If ever there was one time to use your accent, Alistair, to make the joke.
Auntie.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows. Particle, but then I wouldn't have known when you said aunt. You would have said a great aunt.
Yeah.
I would have been very confused.
I know. That's why I said that. But every particle has its own anti-particle. Auntie-particle.
Anyway, Harrison. Yeah. That was Harrison. Then Alistair turned it into a character of Harrison, who was just like a terrifying stand-up comedian.
Who didn't realize how terrifying he was.
Yeah. Hey, how you guys doing? You know, when you're walking around down a dark street and you see a vulnerable person, and they give you that look. You know that look?
And like my face doesn't change.
You know what I'm talking about.
It was very good. I imagine the audience was very much able to imagine your face not changing because
they were seeing it.
They were.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about the audience who was watching me at the time.
No, I was talking to the audience at home.
Yeah, right.
At home. I think of them as an audience. Isn't that weird that they're an audience even though they're made up of individuals? All spread out all over the place.
It's like thinking of individual drops of water as an ocean.
Yeah.
Well, I guess something you said earlier today, you said, I guess there's only one water. Something like that. You said something like that, and I went, oh. Like as in, like I thought you were talking about all the particles. I guess, oh, that's right. You were talking about your wife's water breaking. Water's breaking.
Her water's broke.
Yeah, her water's broke. And you go, I guess it was just one water. And then I started thinking about the idea that maybe there is only one water and all the water in the world is part of that one water. And I thought maybe that's what you were saying. And then I realized you were talking about maybe that your boys were both in weren't probably in two separate bags. They were in the same bag.
Actually, they would have been in separate bags. So maybe there were waters. Maybe there were a couple of waters. But I think only one of the two waters did break. So
there you go.
I think. I don't know. I can't remember.
They had been separated by a laser or something like that, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. But that wasn't the bags. That was a different thing.
Well,
it was a very complicated in utero scenario with my twins. Pre-birth, Alistair is alluding to a medical condition that they had called twin anemia polycythemia, where red blood cells were flowing from one twin into the other twin via capillaries in the placenta, resulting in one becoming anemic and one becoming polycythemic and almost dying. And then they were saved in a most incredible fashion by an application of very cool science with a little laser and a camera going into the amniotic sac and cutting the capillaries in the placenta with a bloody laser on a stick.
Yeah.
In the womb.
And in ancient times when babies had this condition, one would just be born bright red and the other one would be born bright white.
Bright white.
Bright white. And they would think that they were demon babies.
Yeah.
And then you would be glad to be rid of them.
Which you would have been. Extremely rid of them. Anyway, glad all that's behind me.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Stephen Cole, for performing that procedure.
Apparently the procedure went so well that it changed the way that they're going to do that procedure from now on.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm a part of medical history.
Well, you are in some way, I suppose.
Good times.
Yeah.
I had a thought yesterday, Alistair. That you know how the pavlova is like Australia's national dish?
Yes, right? one of our many.
Yeah. I think, though, that it probably was our national dish during the White Australia policy, which is a thing that we had that we can all be very proud of, which was to keep out, I think, mostly people from China was what they were worried about.
I think so. Yeah. Anyway, we're sorry, everybody.
I just thought it was interesting that our national dish also called for whites only. Because the pavlova obviously is made with the whites of the egg, and how bloody Australian is that? They probably got the bloody the recipe, the White Australia policy confused with the recipe book
for
the white recipe policy.
The white paper. I think they would have had a white paper for that. I don't know what they use white paper.
Could have been. Anyway, unlike the recipe itself, there's a yolk in there somewhere. I don't know. Fuck it. I'm so sorry about that one.
I'm going to write it down.
Yeah? What are you writing down? Only the whites. Yeah, well, I think you could arrange all of that into something.
Yeah. The ingredients are there. In the right context, I think that could be a fun little, mistake where somebody's looking at a recipe book and also...
I don't know if I'm looking at a recipe book or the...
Or a policy, you know?
Or an Australian policy document from before the year 1968.
Well, somebody told me that they were working for the state government and that their job was to implement the policy that was written, right? But they're looking over the policy and they realize this thing is a mess. Like some bits are just copied and pasted from other policies and the things inside it are not relevant
at all.
And then there's other bits that are kind of, maybe they contradict each other and things like that. And
so, but this has been passed.
But this is passed.
Passed parliament or whatever.
Yeah. And so is in law. And now that they have to enact it. You have to look at this piece of, I guess, is like societal bit of societal programming, like as in the coding kind of thing, and then you have to actually do things that match the new laws, even though the laws don't necessarily make sense.
That's so crazy. I mean, I often wonder about this, though, because those policy documents that they come up with, they're coming up with them all the time, right? There's always new shit being debated and passed and that sort of thing. Mm. And they're huge. They're massive documents. Mm. Really hard to... And they're written in language that is very hard to understand.
Yeah.
They are, by their nature, very repetitive anyway, and they always contain clauses and subclauses. Like, just when I was working on this show about the Australian consumer law, just having to look at the consumer law, it's just... volumes and volumes and volumes of this stuff that is so hard to understand. But I'm always like, how do they write so much of this stuff? How do they write it all so quickly and write it in a way that is, you know, robust, like legislatively robust? And obviously there would be copying and pasting and that's what I would do if I was doing it.
Well, I think, I think that happens in law as well. Like you need to come up with a good argument for defending somebody or whatever. You just go, all right, what did other people say when they defended somebody in a similar thing like that? You go, that's a good argument. All right, let's take that. And you go, that's a good argument. Let's take that. Like that. And so nobody
just go on Google, good defenses for septuple murder.
Man, I bet you that there is a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for septuple murder.
Is there any special defences that kick in at sort of like extra high number of murders?
Your Honour, my client thought that by killing 7, that would be lucky.
And he was wrong, but we all make mistakes.
Exactly, and he thought he would get off. Mm. And so...
And he did, in a way.
In a way. But only in... Are you referring to like sexually?
Jacking it. Yeah.
Jacking it.
Mm. Your Honour... My client, yes, he did murder 13 people, but you understand that above a certain number of murders, it's hard to keep track. Mm-hmm. He thought he'd only murdered 11.
There you
Ignorance
go.
Of the law is no defence, but what about...
Ignorance of the crime.
Of the crime. That's much better than what I was going to say.
I don't know what I'm doing.
There could be something in that. Well, I think that is probably a legitimate offence if you're sort of impaired in such a way that you can't keep track. Like, and I wonder if there is can you get a bulk sentence? Like, say you do above a certain number of murders, say a dozen, you know, is there some kind of discount where you don't have to do the same number of years as you would per the individual murders?
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll throw you in one for free or something like that.
I think if you kill...
The old baker's dozen.
I think if you commit a crime against one person, you will get, you know, a certain amount of time. But even if that's... If you kill 3 people, say, I don't think they're going to give you 3 times the same sentence.
Sometimes I think they do. Mm. I think sometimes you get, like... There are situations where you'll get a life sentence. You know, you'll get multiple life sentences.
Yeah.
Reflecting the number of people that you killed. But it does turn into a bit of a joke as well.
Yeah, that's when you get a pedantic judge who really cares about that. Or as we would call them in this, a pedantophile.
Mm. Yeah.
Loves to be pedantic. And I think the idea of a bulk crimes discount is sort of a funny idea.
Mm.
And maybe, you know how we have lots of law-based, courtroom-based sketch ideas. The idea that your Honour, my client, now he has done a lot, but I think per the crime, he should do less.
Get a discount.
And what if we paid some of the fine? As you know, there's going to be fine and
in cash.
In cash, yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. We should do something with that, especially if your crime was tax evasion.
Mm. Yeah, money laundering, tax evasion.
I was just saying that if my mum was a defence lawyer, I think she would expect a discount not only for the number of crimes done, but also for the if her client came to court a lot, was like a repeat offender, you know, based on the relationship or something like that. Oh, you know, I come here all the time.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Joe's discount bulk courthouse is this Australia's... Find a a lesser sentence anywhere else and we'll beat it by 10%. It's a real race to the bottom.
They'll
if you get a fine, they'll give you a lower fine. And I think we should do this. I think we should privatise the administration of justice.
Oh, I'm crazy, Judge. I'm crazy, Judge Joe. Low sentences. Oh, I'm absolutely nuts. People go, look at this court jurors. I mean, this one's a donkey.
Normally the clients plead insanity, but this time it's Crazy Joe doing it. I must be mad myself.
This is when they've privatised the court system.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Let
you off with a warning about how good the deals are.
Every plea deal is a something.
Everything's settling out of court because they repossessed his courthouse. He couldn't keep up the rent, so now he's doing it all out.
Joe's out to all court settlements. Out of court settlements. Yeah, we're just doing them outside because
they're renovating. We're renovating. Big things coming soon.
Yeah, forward to soon.
Meanwhile, there's an eviction notice on the door.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, come here. Come down by the river. The cop won't let me do it here.
I love a real shifty judge.
Yeah. Do you want me to ordain you sort of civil partnership?
I'll chuck that in. While I'm doing your...
$5 extra.
Doing your homicide.
It's just...
Do
you think that maybe you will get married to someone, while you're in jail over correspondence? Because... Mm. You could pre-buy
come to
that.
Me. If you're going to do that, make sure you come to me. Yeah. Say my name. They'll get me in.
Old Joe will look after you.
That's just like, it's a Better Call Saul, but for judges.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're doing all our
references to, they're all parody sketches today.
The guy who created that TV show.
Is it David Simon or is that someone else?
No, that's Simon, The Wire. The other guy.
Bjorn Klamski?
Yeah, that's it. Bjorn.
He's a Bjorn where you pronounce the J.
Yeah.
B-A-J-O-R-N.
He's an American Bjorn. I love that. Like there's places in the States that are clearly... French names, but they
pronounce them.
Yeah, Des Moines. Des Moines, I think is really funny because I mean, like, it doesn't, you know, obviously it's fine to pronounce it with an English accent, but I guess not everybody, you can't get everybody in America to call it Des Moines. but you know, at least they're not pronouncing the S at the, I don't know, maybe it is just D E Moines.
I think you're only allowed to call it Des Moines if it's actually from the Moine region of France.
Something.
So, Alistair, favourite grade of gravel?
I would say coarse.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would get...
You're a coarse guy.
Yeah. I guess, you know, something that...
Well, you're talking like a bluestone? Or do you like that kind of tan
color? Do they
break
up big blue stones?
I think they do, and I think they like make gravel in a thing, like in a tumbler. It goes round and... Oh, actually, no, that's where you get those... That's where they make those little round ones. They literally put them in there and they just spin it like a washing machine and all the stones are just smashing against each other. Like that. And and eroding down to the point where you get the nice little roundies.
And they fall into a thing?
They must sift them out somehow. Maybe they fall out. Maybe they sort of fall out the
well,
end.
Well, I guess sifting does involve falling.
It
I
mean, does
I think
in a
we
way.
Can, I think we can both be right on this well, one. Actually, even though I don't think I'm right at all.
Well, I'm just trying to speculate about a version of sifting that doesn't involve falling.
Oh,
you could do it with like some kind of centrifuge.
Mm, or a magnetic spinning. Sifting.
Mm, yeah, okay.
iron ore.
Yeah. I don't know if iron ore is magnetic. Well,
it is.
Sorry, I apologize. Magnetite. Obviously is.
Mm.
But it's not one of the main iron ores, I don't believe, magnetite.
Yeah, right. So I was referring to magnetite at the time. Yeah. I want you to know that whenever I talk about ore, I'm always talking about one of the lesser off brand ores.
It's a bit more niche. It's a bit, you know, a bit hipper.
Like if we're talking about canoe ores,
mm-hmm.
I'm always talking about double kayak ores.
Mm. I love kayaking.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's so satisfying.
I think that really matches you and your, especially your new look.
My new vest.
Yeah.
My little cap.
Your little cap. These are all things that go well with your leather side bag, that kind of stuff.
I'd be interested in kayaking on land. I think that would be possible. You could chuck a couple of little wheels under a kayak and you could paddle along with a little rubber stump on the end instead of a paddle.
Street paddle. I think that would be great. Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's that part where they tip over a lot where your head kind of falls into the sort of the car lane.
Grates along the...
Yeah.
But if that doesn't happen with bicycles,
and
it does... And let's be clear, it does happen
it
with bicycles. It
absolutely does. But if it didn't...
but in this situation, my legs would be trapped inside a kayak. So. Yeah.
And your arms would be sort of otherwise occupied. So
Holding a paddle.
Holding a paddle. Yep. So I think it's perfect for sort of squishing the heads of...
Yep.
It would be a good way to thin out the sort of kayak enthusiast population, I guess.
Yeah, you're right.
But I don't think that just because it's a bad idea that people shouldn't do it.
Oh, that's good.
Mm?
You know, we're very open-minded on this show, mostly because we've cracked our skulls open ground kayaking.
Exactly.
I've had a lot of people that I know, quite, family friends and friends of mine quite recently, injure themselves very badly doing downhill mountain biking.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very conducive to serious injuries.
It's insane.
My dad does a lot of it.
He's insane.
Mm, well.
Is this your dad who recently had really, really bad knees?
Yeah, but that was...
Is this the same dad? We're talking about the same
dad? Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, that's the same dad. Yeah, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was viral. Mm. That was a viral or a bacteria thing that got into his body and then... reacted with reactive arthritis and then also another thing on his heart. But
you're right. His arthritis in his knees and his problem with his heart and his susceptibility to bacteria doesn't sound like any of these should preclude him from doing downhill mountain biking.
But it wasn't related to the downhill. If anything, the mountain biking will stop his... he didn't just have... Turns out he didn't just have reactive arthritis in his knees. He also has now real arthritis in there. And doing
proactive.
Doing a lot of mountain biking is one of the few things you could do to stop your knees from seizing up.
You're kidding.
Mm.
That's crazy. Mm. I apologize.
When you have arthritis, you got to keep using your body or else they will become basically unusable.
Mm.
So I guess in this episode where we reveal all our family's medical problems.
Medical history.
You must feel pretty silly now.
Yeah, I really
and,
do.
But this is another sort of medical thing in which your name is attached to. In history.
I will admit that when I went into attacking your dad on the basis of his medical conditions, I felt like there was a chance I wasn't going to come out of it well.
No.
But I was like, look, I have a role to play on this podcast, and it's irrationally attacking people for things that they choose to
do. That's cool, yeah. And I did bring up the problem, your son's thing. I mean, I was bringing it up in the context of their quite a beautiful, poetic thing of the idea of there only being one water.
Mm.
But, you know, your attack on my dad's knees and how he's an insane person. I guess is similar.
I will say, he does seem to have quite different interests to you.
Yeah, but also, like, you work in a very different field to all your members of your family.
That's true.
And so your focus lies far away from that because we focus in quite a niche industry where there's only seemingly millions of people trying to do it.
Yep. We're all trying to cram into a little hole, like bees trying to get into a hive. But there's only one spot in the hive.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're in the hive now.
We're in the hive.
You can't come in.
Yeah. And we're low on resources.
Until they shut down the hive.
Now, look, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ideas here. Should we go to our three words? I bet
they're good as well. Yes.
I think there's some good stuff.
Never look back.
All right. We're going to three words from a listener. Have we done too short?
No. No, it's fine. It's just going to be a petite episode.
Well, we can... Anyway, I think people are happy with petite episodes.
Yeah. People have got things to do. They don't have time to listen to this.
Yeah. Thank you for listening, everybody. And if you want, you can come to our comedy festival show, Teleport, from March 26th till April 19th, 2020, in Melbourne, Australia. And it's going to be great. And the sooner you buy tickets, the happier everyone will be. You'll be happy because you know tickets will be booked. And we'll be happy because we know that this might not lead to total financial ruin.
Just do it. Just buy the tickets now.
And then after you do that, if you really want to, you can also buy tickets to Alistair Tremblay Birchall. Couldn't be more happy. Couldn't be more thrilled with everything, which is also at the Comedy Festival.
Go to the comedyfestival.com.au
website and find links or like on our Twitter and stuff. Anyway, three words from a listener, a Patreon supporter, Connell O'Hara.
Connell O'Hara. Walking through the fields.
Making up a type of breath that no one ever smelled.
We are really good at this.
Yeah.
I think we should do it live.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just making up songs?
Yeah.
I think, okay, what we need to do is we need to record one live album.
Okay. Of songs.
Of songs.
Yeah.
But we make them in real time.
Mm-hmm.
We both have... an instrument, if we want to. I guess we could have an array of instruments there. Tambourine.
Sure. I don't want to limit myself.
Yeah.
I want the only limit to be my talent. But trust me, that's a big enough limit to go around.
Yeah, don't worry. And then I guess we could live stream it. We'll do it directly after the 300th episode is finished. No, we're not going to do it then. I think.
Oh my God, that'd be incredible.
To do that.
We do a 300 sketch episode and then we go on stage and perform live.
Live. Having just finished our cheese goblet of wine.
Well, we got to work on something new to do for the next episode.
Okay, can't be cheese goblets.
Can't be cheese goblets again. Yeah. No. We've moved on.
All right. Maybe gravy pillows.
Yeah, great.
On which we could sleep after we record that live album. All right. Connell O'Hara's three words are anti. A-N-T-I.
Ah.
Cream.
Yep.
Do you want to guess what the last word is?
Schlipovitz?
No, wrinkles.
Ah. Anti-cream wrinkles. You know what? If the wrinkles in the ends of your fingers were big enough,
yeah,
right, they would absorb all cream, right? Whenever you touched cream, it would be soaked into the wrinkles on your fingers,
yeah,
right? And it would mean that you were never able to apply cream anywhere else on your body.
So it would just go too deep down and then you wouldn't be able
to. It's deep down in the folds there. Well, you can't get to it.
I guess you could picture somebody who's got such dry hands and they're so cracked that when you put cream on your finger, it falls so deep into
the crevice.
It's like the
vacuum of space. Yeah. It's sucked away never coming back.
And then it goes into your bloodstream and is carried away.
Is it infinitely dry? You know, like... Okay, we've got absolute zero temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Is there absolute dry? Something that is is infinitely, well, what I said, infinitely dry. I wonder if you could make something like this with carbon nanotubes, right? Because you can make that material that absorbs all light with carbon nanotubes. The light goes down the little holes and bounces around in there and can't get back out again.
Is it Vanta Black?
Yeah, I think Vanta Black, somewhere along that territory. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And but I reckon that might also be able to absorb water down those tubes using capillary action.
Sure.
And then it's infinite dry. You touch it on anything, soaks it up, it's gone. Mm. It's gone. So drop it in the ocean, the ocean's gone.
Yeah, well, make so this is like, did this guy have like a, did a product make his hands this dry? Do you think maybe it was like, make your hands as dry as a person's heels would be?
Well, okay. He was he was in a public toilet, right? Trying to dry his hands on one of those crappy hand dryers that just go like that, right? And then a genie appeared, right?
Or a researcher in material science.
Yeah, the closest thing we have to genies.
Yeah.
And he wished to the researcher in material science, after rubbing him to dry his hands, he said, I wish that my hands were always dry, right? And the material scientist, because you've got to be careful of them, they granted his one wish.
Right. Said, be careful coating. What you wish for.
Was he foreign?
Yeah, he had come here from Iran.
Iran is at the forefront of material science.
Yeah, and you know, but he was trying to get away from a lot of that political unrest. And he was working with nanotubes, and he was walking into a public toilet with a big tub of them. and then he dipped the person's hands in the carbon nanotubes, and they dried immediately. But then they were also then suddenly these nanotubes got all into his skin and things like that. They're because they're nanotubes. You know,
the fibers.
They all got into the pores and the gaps in the skin fibers and things like that. Anyway, so then anytime, no matter what, he could go through a whole tub of sorbeline like that. And you know, normally you got that sort of slimy feel left after let's say you've tried to rub your heel or something like that to kind of make it stop aching while you're in bed or whatever.
Are we going into another medical diversion, Alistair?
No. And then you're like, oh, now I've got all this cream on my hands. Now my hands are going to be all not dry. And then, but he can't. That doesn't happen to this guy. They go instantly dry. Has no access to the moisture. Can't get it back.
I've got the driest touch. Everything I touch turns to dry.
Do you think maybe it goes into a reservoir in the middle of his hand, and his hands keep growing?
Yeah, with swelling.
So he gets water hands like that. But
then can he shoot it out from a hole in the middle of his hand?
Maybe out of his wrist like Spider-Man. This
would be a pretty good way to get a superpower. Like it's almost, feels almost plausible.
Yeah.
I think we could be onto something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a sketch?
Squirty Boy. That'd be his name.
Mm-hmm. Squirty Boy. He can make you uncomfortably wet. Not enough to change your shirt, but enough to be weird wet. Like
he goes, you know, somebody's drowning in a pool or whatever. He sticks his fingers in, sucks up the pool.
Oh, that is so good.
Mm. Squirts it into the air.
Yeah.
Everyone dances around. That music plays.
You don't think that would make people happy?
I think it would make people happy. Yeah. I think people like that kind of thing. They like a good time.
Yeah, people do love a good time.
You know, I'm a big fan of water slides.
Are you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Really? I feel like we talked about it on a very recent episode of the podcast.
You love water slides.
I am obsessed with water slides. I think they're just about the most fun thing that exists.
You know what I don't like about water slides?
What?
That
when you get decapitated.
It's my second least favorite thing.
Okay, wow. I'm interested in this first. Yeah. But
so, you know, it's that join between two of the slide pieces where when your butt goes over it, sometimes
a little bit of a ka-dunk.
You feel a little clipping. Like it's like you kind of, it's almost like it pinches you a little bit. Like your skin goes past and maybe some of the skin just kind of goes into the fold, and then it kind of goes, ah, just pinches a tiny bit.
Yeah, I reckon what happens is that the pressure from your butt pushes your skin down into the fold, and then as you slide, the far edge squeezes that fold.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's a little self-squeezer.
Yeah, but then after that, getting decapitated is my least favorite thing.
Would you say that you mentioned political unrest before? Mm. Do you think that our country is at a state of political rest?
I don't know if we're in complete rest, but I think we're in equilibrium.
Mm. Possible.
We've hit some steady state.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what stability is.
Mm.
I don't know if there's political unrest in Iran. My assumption is that there always is, but maybe there isn't.
I think some people are pretty unhappy with some stuff over there.
But, you know, I think they've just voted in a very conservative government again.
Have they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I thought I heard that the young people were very sort of anti all that.
Mm.
But they can't seem to escape it. Mm.
Anti all that. She's all anti all that.
I used to love the movie She's All That.
Never seen it.
I was so in love with Rachel Lee Cook.
I don't know her.
Well, she's the star of She's All That.
I'll look her up. Was she beautiful?
Well, at first she was nerdy.
Ah. So approachable.
She was approachable because she had interests that would have sort of, you know, not been the kind of interest my dad would have had, obviously. Ah, the kind of interest that I would have had.
Yeah, because your dad's a real jock.
Yeah. Well, he just likes, you know, sharing sort of old rock songs on Facebook.
Has that been done as a movie concept? Jock dad? You know, somebody's got a jock dad.
He's all jock.
Yeah, that's a great name. But then their son is not so jock. I'm sure this has been done.
Mm. I think it's like, so obvious. I think masculine men who are disappointed with their son that isn't that
is
masculine.
One of the main topics for film.
I don't think there's a single film that's been made that doesn't have that trope in it.
Little Women? The main plot line in Little Women.
Little Women. I mean, Little Woman is the name of the dad.
That's the name of the dad.
Yeah, Little Women.
And he's super masculine. He's called Little Women and he's super masculine.
Well, that's how masculine he is. He can pull off that name.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think there's a son. I don't know, Big Mama or something like that.
Big Mama.
Yeah, and because his dad gave him that name so that he didn't have to be as masculine. Mm.
What about Dick Grunt?
That is a very masculine name. Knife wound.
Mm, yeah, nothing like a wound. It's a real male thing to have.
I think so.
You reckon?
Yeah. When you've been out hunting oxen.
But don't you think it's more masculine to have got out of the fight without even... Without a scratch on
you? You mean knife, no wound.
Yes.
Knife McNo wound. That's son of no wound.
Yep.
The one who was maybe whose masculinity is being questioned by his papa.
Papa. Papa.
Shall I take us through the sketch ideas?
Yep.
We got Breaking Bad, but with sugar.
Mm.
And this is in this keto society.
Mm-hmm.
Where any sugar has been restricted. I tell you that joke idea that I came up with, but I was like, look, I've been trying to follow the keto diet, but I'm struggling because I'm not sure I quite get the rules. I've been eating a lot of pastry and sugar, which I think is against the rules, but I know that turns into, in your body, turns directly into fat, which is allowed.
Mm.
You see, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, have I told you my joke about the paleo diet?
No. wait. This is the famous one, right?
This is the joke that I tell you almost every day.
Yeah.
I'm on the paleo diet. Leo's a guy who runs a fish and chip shop at the corner of my street, and I pay him for food.
Then we've got pedophiles,
which are
people who love
cycling, like your dad.
That's the pedophile.
Oh, sorry.
Pedophiles are the people who love feet.
The definition of feet.
Yeah,
pointing out what's feet and what isn't.
Yeah.
I still think my bipedal person who walks on one leg and one hand.
Novel forms of walking and bipeds.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. I'm sorry, I doubted you. And I did doubt you.
Then we got the only whites pav. Recipe, becoming
The Australian national dish.
This White Australia policy.
Mm.
Through some mix-up.
Yep.
Mix-up of egg whites.
Yeah, okay. A bit of sugar.
Yeah, a bit of sugar until they...
Stiff peaks.
Yeah, until they form a meringue.
Mm.
Then we've got bulk crime discounts. And that's from Joe's Discount Bulk Courthouse from when they privatized the legal system.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the incentive is to go to one of the more expensive courthouses where they charge you individually for each crime.
Well, I suppose it's more important, I guess, it's important to you for to appear like justice has been served.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good answer. It's a really good answer.
To
me, it's status. More important to get off lightly.
Yeah, but, you know, status... I went to one of the good ones, you know, not some cheapo.
I'm serving my full term.
Mm. If you're a politician, you'd have to make it seem like you went to a good one, but you could go to a dodgy one that appears like a good one.
Yeah, yeah. So that you can then restart your political career after you've done your 18 consecutive life sentences.
Absolutely.
You got to keep that credibility.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got ultimate dry hands.
Mm.
The carbon
nanotube finger man
story.
Yeah, that's inspiring.
Yeah. I like to go on elevators.
I'll be releasing a song soon. I'm running a rap about having chickens and having lots of eggs and feeling really... egg rich.
And I want you to know that this is separate from our live stream, completely improvised album that we'll be doing.
Absolutely.
This is Andy's different new career.
This is my rap career. I got two. I got the rap we did, I think it was last time, about my dick falling off.
My dick fell off. And then my dick fell off. Yeah,
yeah. And now I've got this other one about having lots of eggs.
Yeah, a eunuch with eggs.
It's time to sound like a woman.
No, I don't think women are guys whose dicks have fallen off.
Oh, I have a lot to learn, Alistair. Hey, but I hope to learn through the medium of rap. I understand rap is the place to go to learn about women.
White guy rap.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you very much for listening. We have been Andy Matthews and Alistair Trombley-Virgil.
We're at Two in Tank, at Stupid Old Andy, at Alistair TB
on Twitter, and we're at Two in Tank on Instagram.
And you're on Instagram.
I'm also at A. Trombley Birchall.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on, you know, you can support us on Patreon, which helps immensely. You can
go on our Redbubble. We've got to do another Sci-Fi Try Guys this week. I've only just released the most recent bonus episode for this month, but we've got to get another one out there.
Yeah, we're going
to
have a Sci-Fi,
Try Guys. I've started writing my story. I'm very enjoying
it. Sounding very good.
I think I've found my voice.
Oh my God. Yeah. Andy has found his voice, whereas I am still in deep search for any kind of voice. I'm pretty doubtful of whether or not I'll ever find my voice. I think I'll be like, I think this whole thing is bullshit that everybody finds their voice. And then it's always just going to be work.
Mm.
It's just going to be hard work and I'll never be able to make it consistent.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my prediction.
It's my fear that this career I've chosen is always going to be work.
Yeah, but, well, it's, you know, it's good that it is work because that makes it difficult and it means that, I guess, less people try to do it. But also, I think maybe if I do find my voice, it'll just be the rut that I'm in. The voice of my rut.
Find your rut. My comedy's really taken off since I found my rut.
And thank you very much. Take care of yourselves.
Rut nuts over there.
You rut nuts.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.